Shalom to all. Today's office is Chol and Daf Lamed Aleph, and we're starting about the seventh line of the two dots with the quote from the Mishnah, Hayoshechet v'Hitiz v'Chulu. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mirim Zarbas Yaka Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So Mishnah had said that if a person was shechting, he did the proper act of shechita of a sawing motion and not chopping downwards, but the good old regular shechita motion, and he cut the simanim in one shot, in just one motion of the knife. So as long as the knife is as long as tzavar echad, one neck width, so it's okay. Now the question is, what does that mean? So Amram Zehu explains, Mali tzavar v'chutz tzavar. The length of the knife has to be the width of the neck and beyond it. So the question is, who they asked, Mali tzavar v'chutz tzavar, kimolai tzavar. Does that mean it has to be the length of the width of the neck and beyond the neck as well, a full length of the neck, da'avaluhu trei tzavare, which basically means that the length of the knife is two neck widths long, and that way he can do the whole sawing motion in one shot without having to go back and forth. He can just do it in one shot because he has a double knife. I don't know, perhaps Mali tzavar v'chutz tzavar mashu. Maybe it just means it has to be the width of the animal's neck and just a little bit beyond, and that's all. So Tashma have arrived from the Mishnah itself. What does the Mishnah also tell us? Let's say he's shechting and he does two heads at one shot, meaning two animals together. If the length of the knife is Moloi Tzavar Echad, it's kosher. Now the question is, my Moloi Tzavar Echad? What does that mean, Moloi Tzavar Echad? Even if you want to say Moloi Tzavar Echad v'suloi, it's just the length of one neck and that's it. Well, that doesn't make sense. Now that with one animal, as we just said above, we need the knife to be as long as at least one neck's worth and a little bit longer. Well, does that make sense to say that when he's shechting two animals, the knife only has to be as long as the width of one animal's neck? That doesn't make sense. Ela pshita rather, Moloi Tzavar chutz l'shnei tzavarin. It must be in the second case of the Mishnah. It means the knife has to be a neck width longer than two neck widths. In other words, when shechting two behemoths in one shot, the knife has to be three necks long. Shema mino, we learn from here, Moloi Tzavar chutz l'tzavar, shema mino. That means in the first situation where he's just shechting one animal, but in one shot without going back and forth, the knife has to be double the width of the neck, not just one and a little bit. We continue the Mishnah said, Medvam rum is macha haylich v'lehev v'chulu. And then we had said, as long as he goes back and forth on the neck, he can even use a very small knife, afilu be'ismail, even with an ismail, which is often translated as a scalpel, which is basically a very small knife. So nothing more clarifies, Omar B'Nashi tells us, be'ismail she'in lo'i karnayim, it's referring to the scalpel that doesn't have karnayim, which literally means horns, but it was basically these protrusions at the top of the scalpels. They were usually made for decoration, so he's not allowed to use that, because then we have a fear that maybe it's going to end up poking the simanim or doing chalada going underneath them. But if he doesn't use that type of ismail, it's just regular and smooth, that's okay for shechita. Now I'm going to add the braider of Avila of Menasha, machtamai. What about shechting with a needle? A needle is very sharp. Let's say he runs the needle back and forth across the neck. Is that okay? So Amalei told him, machta mivzabaza. A needle ends up tearing because since it has a very sharp point and the sides of it are not sharp, so it's really just going to end up tearing the simanim and not cutting them, so you can't use a needle for shechita. Another question though is, machta de ushbechi mai. What about the needle of ushbechi? This is basically people who worked with leather, had a tiny little knife, which basically looked like a needle, was just a little bit bigger, and the difference is that over here it had sharp sides as well. They would use that to cut threads. Is that how to be used for shechita? So Amalei told him, Tanino, we learned in our Mishnah, afilu kol shehu, even a very small knife. Now, my lav machta ushbechi, isn't that coming to include this type of knife used by these leather workers? Even though it's very small, it says kol shehu in the Mishnah. You say, loy, that's not so. Ismail, it's referring to a scalpel. As for Ismail, behaydi katani lo. You want to say it's including Ismail? That was stated beferish in the Mishnah. So we answer, no, perush kam befarish, that's just an explanation of what I just said. In other words, the Mishnah tells us you could use a kol shehu, and then it explains, my kol shehu, what does that mean, a knife which is a kol shehu? Ismail, even a scalpel could be used. And actually, Hachanam Mistaber, it's logical to say that. If you want to say, when the Mishnah tells us, kol shehu, it's coming to include a machted ushbechi, well, hashta, machted ushbechi, sharia, ismail mibaya. If this machted ushbechi is allowed, so do we even have to say that ismail is allowed? And ismail is actually a little bit bigger than a machted ushbechi, so we wouldn't have to say that it's allowed. And therefore, we say ismail srichalai, the chiddush of the Mishnah is dafka that we're allowed to use an ismail, because Hakadat Chamina would have thought to say that ligzer ismail she'en le karnayim, otel ismail she'yesh le karnayim, that we should make a gzeira that ismail, even without these karnayim, are not allowed to be used, because maybe he's going to end up using an ismail that does have these karnayim. Kamashmal, the chiddush is that as long as the ismail that doesn't have these karnayim, he's allowed to use it, and therefore the Mishnah says kol shehu. Those are just the words before we actually explain what we're talking about, which is the ismail. It's not going to include a machted ushbechi. And we continue. The Mishnah tells us nafla sakin v'shachta. Let's say a knife fell off a table and it shechted an animal that happened to be underneath. Afal b'shachta kedarka. Even though it shechted the regular way, it was a good kosher shechita. Psula, it's puzzled. It's not valid. Why is that? Shemar because the pasuk says v'zavachta v'chalta, and you shall shecht and you shall eat. What you shecht, you eat. But since you didn't shecht, the knife fell on its own, so you can't eat from it. That's not a kosher shechita. Says the Gemara, taima denafla. That's mashma because it fell on its own. Ha, that's mashma. He pilahu, that if he knocked the knife off the table, kshera, it would be a kosher shechita. Va'afa gavdolei mechavin. Even though he didn't have kavana to do shechita, all his kavana was for was just to knock the knife off the table. Nonetheless, he did have this sort of kavana, and therefore would be valid. Now, further clarify, mantana tolei bein kavana l'shechita. Who's the man to amar that doesn't require kavana in the shechita action? Amar Rabbi says, Rav Nosson, Yitzram Nasa, the Titani Hoshaya Zeira, the Min Chavraya, because Hoshaya Zeira from the Chavraya, from the Chomim Beis Medrash, he taught that Zark Sakin Lenayitza B'Kaisel, if a person threw a knife to get it into the wall, V'Halcha V'Shachta G'darka, and as it was on its way into the wall, it shechted an animal that was there, Rav Nosson Machshir Chom Paislam, Rav Nosson says it's kosher, and the Chom Pasol, and who Tani Lavu Amr La, because Hoshaya Zeira taught it, and he said as follows, Halacha Kram Nosson, the Halacha Kram Nosson, so we clearly see that you don't need Kavan for Shechita. He didn't intend to shecht, he intended to throw his knife into the wall, he was practicing knife throwing, and nonetheless it's still valid. Ask the Gemara, hold on, V'Amr Rav Achad Zimno, Rav already said something like this once. Then now we had our first mission in the Masechta, V'Kon Sheshecht V'Chem Reino Son Shechitas and Ksheira, and all of them, referring to Cher Shait and Katon, if they shecht and other people are watching them, their Shechita is kosher. And V'Amrino we explain, Man Tano Deloy by Kavan L'Shechita, who's the Tano, that you don't need Kavan for Shechita, because the Cher Shait and Katon definitely don't have Kavana, but it's still valid. V'Amr Rav, Rav said, Rav Nasan needs Rav Nasan. So what do we need Rav saying this another time for? And the answer is Shechita, both these statements are necessary. Diashmin and Hasam, if we only had that case, the first mission of the Masechta, I might say the reason why it's valid is Mishum to come Chavan L'Shum Chaticha Ba'olam. That's because there was at least a Kavana for cutting the Cher Shait and Katon, even though they don't have the Das to say that I'm doing a Shechita, at least they know that they're cutting something, and therefore it's valid. Aval Hacham, but over here, where he knocked the knife off the table, like Machavin, he's not intending to cut anything. It was just his Kayach that knocked it off the table, but there's no Kavana for cutting. In Maloy, I might say it's not a valid Shechita. And Yashmin Hacha, if we said over here that it is valid, I might say Mishum to Ka'asim Kayach Ben Das. That's because the Kayach of the knife going is from a Ben Das, from a person who does have Das. Aval Hacham, but over there, Deloy Ka'asim Kayach Ben Das, the cutting action of the animal's neck is not being done by a Ben Das. It was done by a Cher Shait HaKaton. In Maloy, I might say it's not valid. Tzricha, that's why we need that memory over there as well, to say that even though it's done Shalei B'Chavana, it's kosher. Now to something similar. Itamar was stated, Nida Shenensa Vitavla, a woman who's a Nida, which means she was Tamei, and by Ines, she immersed in water. So Amar Yehudam Ravi tells us, Tahayra Labesa V'Asru Lechol B'Truma. She's tar to her house, which means she's tar and she's allowed to be with her husband, but she's still not allowed to eat Truma. Whereas Rav Yechon says, Afla Besa Laitara, even for her husband, she's not a Tahar. Her immersion wasn't valid. Now Amar Rav Nachman, Rav told Nachman, L'Rav, the Amar Tahayra Labesa V'Asru Lechol B'Truma, according to Rav, that she's much to be with her husband, but she's also to eat Truma. How does that make sense? Oven Kars Hutra, Isr Misa Mibaya. He says there's no problem with Kars anymore. But there is a problem, Misa B'Dei Shemayim, that's less harm than Kares. In other words, Anida, we know, has an Isr Kares to be with her husband, but he's saying no problem. Her immersion that was Ba'ines is okay, and there's no Isr Kares anymore. So how could he say that she's not allowed to eat Truma? Eating Truma in a state of Tumah is only Misa B'Dei Shemayim, which is less than Kares. So how could you say that the more Chomer Isr is not a problem, and the less Chomer Isr is a problem? So Rav Nachman responded to him, Bala Chulin Hu. Her husband is Chulin. That doesn't mean her husband is actually Chulin. It just means the act of being with her husband is chulin. It has nothing to do with kachim, and v'chulin loy by kavana. Chulin doesn't need kavana, and imunat teimra, how do I know that? Then now we have a mish that says, gal shenitlash, a wave that detached, it's like those huge surfing waves that are breaking right near shore, so a giant piece of the wave detached from the wave, now it's not connected to the ocean anymore, and it's mid-air, ubay barm sa, and there's 40 sa of water in it, and we know that the minimum size of kashar mikvah is 40 sa, v'nafal adam al kalim, and that giant piece of detached water fell on either person or kalim, tahirin, they're tahar. My love, wouldn't we say that Adam Dumi the Kalim, the person that had this waterfall on him, is similar to the Kalim? That Ma Kalim Dilem Chavni, just like the Kalim didn't have any Kavana, because Kalim can't have Kavana, Af Adam Namilai by Kavana, a person as well doesn't need Kavana. And so we see from here that when it comes to Chulin, regular Tara, there's nothing to do with Kachim, person and Kalim doesn't require Kavana. Are we saying not a Raya, Mimai, who says that's the proper way to understand this? Dilma Biashu Mitzapaskinon, Emasa Yitla Shagal. Maybe we're talking about a fellow who's sitting by the edge of the water, waiting, when is it that a giant piece of a wave is going to detach and plop itself on my head so I can be considered them going to the mikvah. And Laman Alpha and Bez on top, the diak would be the other way around. The kalim domi to Adam, the kalim that are there would be just like the person. Ma Adam debar kavana, that's proper girsa, that's what Rashi changes it to, just like a person, he's able to have kavana. Af kalim nami to come chavan luhu Adam, it would have to be the same thing with the kalim, that the person had kavana, I want these kalim to have this mikvah fall on them. And if you would want to ask, well, if the person's sitting and waiting for the water to fall on him, then what's the chiddush? I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Ma tema, you might have thought, the legs are mishum chardel shal gashamim. You might have thought that we should make one of these gzeiras and there shouldn't be a valid mikvah even with the water falling on him. The chiddush is that we're not geyser. Now let's just explain these things. So chayla shal geshamim means a whole deluge or whole torrent of rainwater coming down a mountain. Now we know that, let's say on a flat surface, if you have a body of water here and there and then you have a small strip of water connecting the two of them, even though in that strip of water itself there isn't 40 saw, since it's connecting these two bodies of water, it's considered like it's 40 saw. However, specifically with rainwater running down a mountain, we do not say that. That's because rainwater is not metar b'zeichlin. When rainwater is flowing, that's zeichlin, it's not metar, it has to be mikvah, which literally means gathered, it has to be stationary. So that technically could have been one chashash, that a person might end up being metar himself in that. The other chashash is Russian atukipin. What we've been talking about the whole time is that part of a wave detached itself, and now it's falling on the person, and Russian is basically the tip or the front of the wave. When that falls on him, so it's metar, but you might say that it's not not atu kippin because of the kippa. Kippa is like a dome, kind of like the kippa you wear on your head. In other words, the curve of the wave, which is still in the air, that you are not allowed to be tevel in. So you might think we should be guys or this atu that. The chiddush is that we're not. Let me just clarify one more point. Umenatamra deloy matbolinum kippin. How do we know that one is not allowed to be tevel in the kippin in the curve of the wave? The answer is that not. It's really the time of a brisa matbilin berashin v'ein matbilin bekippin. So it's clear in brisa. Why is that she'ein matbilin ba'avir? You can't be tevel in the air. The kippin is the curve of the wave, which is still in the air, because once it lands, it's not a curve, it's on the ground. So it must be that we're talking about what's in the air, and this person thinks to himself, you know, let me just throw my kli up in the air, and then once it's in the curve of the wave, while it's mid-air, it's considered to be a tefillah, and you can't be tevel in the air, and that's our source that you can't be tevel in the kippin of the wave. Bottom line is, we do not have a raya. Rav Nachman's answer to Rava wasn't successful. So we go back to our original question, El chulin deloy by kavana miyam minalan, regarding chulin, that it doesn't require kavana. Where do we know that from? The answer is that none, from the following Mishnah, perish enough l'soicham samayim, produce that fell into a little stream of water. And the person who had tame hands, he put his hands inside the stream of water and took the produce out. His hands are tahar. The produce is not b'chiyutan, which we already had a few times in Masechta. That means that they're not machshel kabel toma. That's because he doesn't want this water. So just because the pears became wet, that doesn't mean they're susceptible to kabel toma. However, if the reason why he put his hands into the water was because he wanted to wash his hands, so yadav tahayros, his hands are tahar, upeiros b'chiyutan, and the produce is b'chiyutan because since he wanted the water for washing his hands, that shows that he wants his water, and mamil the fruit is b'chiyutan as well. Bottom line is, though, we see from the resha that when he put his hands in, simply to get the produce out, with no intention whatsoever of being metaher them, still, they're tahar. So we see when it comes to chulin, you don't need any kavana. However, Rava continues asking Rav Nachman, we have a mission that says as follows, tavel chulin v'hochsek l'chulin, if a person immersed himself for chulin, and he's hochsek l'chulin, which means he had kavana for chulin, asr l'maiser, he's not allowed to eat maiser sheni. What do we see from here? Hochsek in lo hochsek loy, that he's only allowed to eat if he was hochsek, if he had kavana that he wanted to eat chulin, but if he didn't have that kavana, then he's not tahar. Mashma, that you need kavana even for chulin. So he responds, no, hachikam, this is really what the Mishnah is saying. Afal pish hochsek chulin, even though he had kavana for chulin, asr l'maiser, he's still not allowed to eat maiser sheni. In other words, you don't have to have kavana for chulin, but even if he did have kavana for chulin, that's still not good enough for maiser sheni. However, as we continued asking him, the Mishnah tells us, tavol v'loy hochsek, if you went to the mikvah and he didn't have kavana at all, ki'ilu loy tavol, it's as if he didn't go to the mikvah. Now, my love, ki'ilu loy tavol klal, isn't that mashma? He didn't go to the mikvah at all, even for chulin. So we respond, loy, that's not so. Ki'ilu loy tavol maiser, it's as if he didn't go to the mikvah for maiser. Avol tavol chulin, it is considered a tevila for chulin. Once again, chulin doesn't require kavana. Now, after these conversations of Rava with Nachman, Savar, Rava thought to himself, dechui kamad chile, the Rav Nachman was really just pushing him away, and that he didn't really have a source for this. So nafak, he went out, dak, he looked, va'ashkach, and he found the tanya. We have a brisa of affairs that says, tavol v'loy hochsek, mutter l'chulin v'asr l'maiser. If a person went to the mikvah, didn't have kavana, he's mutter for chulin, and he's also with maiser sheni. Now we have this brisa. Amalei b'ayel Rav Yosef, b'ayel Rav Yosef, lemin t'yavei t'yofti Rav Yochanan meha. Let's say from this brisa, we have a refutation to Rav Yochanan, who had said in Omer Aleph at the bottom, that if a woman accidentally went to the mikvah, that she is not mutter to her husband, and that's just regular chulin. But this brisa tells us clearly that if a person went to the mikvah without kavana, he is mutter with chulin. So Amalei, he responded that no, Rav Yochanan, who the Amar Kabbiyon Sam ben Yosef, Rav Yochanan goes to Kabbiyon Sam ben Yosef. The time you have a brisa, Kabbiyon Sam ben Yosef, Omer, he tells us, the pasuk in regards to Mitzayra tells us, v'chubas, and she'll be cleaned or laundered. This is in regards to Mitzayra, and the chiyuv for him to launder his clothing. And the second time the pasuk says it, it's referring to putting it in a mikvah. And the question is, matam lemer shenis, why does the pasuk have to say shenis? You know, the pasuk says, v'chubas shenis, it shall be laundered or cleaned a second time. Now, since this is already the second time in the pasuk, it's telling us that the garment has to be cleaned, so it doesn't have to tell us shenis. We already know it's shenis. And the answer is, makish t'chubas shniyah l'tchubas rishayna. We're comparing the second cleaning to the first cleaning. Matchubas rishayna ledas, just like the first cleaning had to be ledas, because the pasuk tells us clearly it has to be, as the pasuk tells us, v'tziva hakayin v'chibsai, so that clearly has to be ledas with kavana. After chubas shniyah ledas, the second cleaning also has to be ledas. Now, if you're going to say that that's a comparison, then we might say, malalon be'in das kayin, just like over there, in the first cleaning, the first laundering, it needs das kayin afkan, even by the second one, being das kayin, it needs the das of the kayin. So to that we say, no, tamalem, the pasuk tells us, v'taher, which is mashma mikol makam, either which way, even without the das of the kayin. Bottom line is, we see from here, that even for chulin purposes, we do have to have das, so that's Rabbi Yochanan's relying on, he has the tanis to support him, so our previous brisa is not a question on him. But now we have another question. Maskal Rav Shimon bar Ashi, umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say that? Rabbi Yochanan says, halacha gestam mishnah, that looks like a stam mishnah, meaning anytime we have a mishnah that doesn't have a tanis name attributed to it, that's called a stam mishnah, so we paskin like that. And utanan, what does our mishnah say? Nafla sakin ushachta, if the knife fell off the table and shechted, afal pish shachta kedarka, even though shechted like regular, psula, it's pasul, and vavina bo, we explain in the Gemara, time of the nafla. The only reason why is because it fell by itself. Ha, he pilahu ksheira. But if he knocked it off the table, it's kosher. Vafal gav deloy mechavan, even though he didn't have kavana, and that's a stam mishnah. And Ramina, we say, man tana deloy by kavana shchita, who's a tana that doesn't require kavana for shchita? Amarava, he says, Rabnasan needs Rabnasan. And so we clearly see that you don't need kavana kavana, whereas Rabbi Yochanan seeming to say that you do need kavana, but that's definitely not like a stam mishnah, which Rabbi Yochanan holds like. The answer is that no, b'shchita, in regards to shchita specifically, afilu Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, many people add the following word to the girsa maidi, that even Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef agrees that you don't need to have kavana. Why is that? The Gal Rachmanim is asking b'kachim pasul, since the pasuk reveals that when a person involved with kachim, if he's misasik and he's not paying attention and he shechts like that, so that's pasul, mechlal that's mashma, the chulin, loy be'ina kavana, that if a person is misasik by chulin and he's not intending to shecht at all, so there's no kavana, still chulin doesn't require kavana. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan would agree with our Mishnah. Now, Rabban, what about the Rabban who argued with Rabbi Nasan? We just brought a great limud, that even though we have a problem misasik b'kachim, that doesn't apply to chulin, so what are they going to do with that? The answer is, need loy be'ina kavana lezvicha. You're right that by chulin, you don't have to have kavana to shecht, but l'chaticha be'inon, you do have to have kavana to make a cut, and just knocking a knife off of a table is not even an intention to cut, and therefore we pass the contra Rabbanon. Now, Rabbi tells us, b'hazachin Rabbi Nasan Rabbanon, it was in this regard that Rabbi Nasan actually triumphed over the Rabbanon, because he said as follows, miksev v'chatachta, does the pasuk say, and you shall cut? V'zavachta ksev, it says, and you shall shecht. And therefore, ibeinin kavana l'chaticha, afilu zvicha nami libai, if you should have to have kavana to make a cut, so then you should have to have kavana to shecht as well, and iloi bin kavana l'zvicha l'chaticha nami libai. If you don't have to have kavana to shecht, so you shouldn't have to have kavana to make a cut, and that's a winning argument that Rabbi Nasan had over the Rabbanon. Now we clarify that which we mentioned at the bottom of Amud Aleph, hechidami nida shenetsa v'tavla. What exactly is the case of a nida that be'aynes she immersed in the mikvah? How exactly does that happen? Even if you want to say the ansa chaverta, that her friend forced her v'atbala and put her in the mikvah, well, kavana to chaverta kavana ma'al yisohi. The kavana that her friend had, that's actually a perfectly fine kavana. And furthermore, actually in this case, betruma nami achla, she would even be allowed to eat truma. How do we know that? The nami, because we have Mishnah that says, hachareshes v'ashoita v'asuma v'shenit v'daita. We have a woman who's a chareshes, a shoita, or suma, or nitva daita, means she temporarily lost her sanity. If they have good regular women who are helping them and making sure their immersion in the mikvah is good, they're allowed to eat truma even though they have no das whatsoever. So if Rachel forced Leah to go to the mikvah, she pushed her in, that would be a kasher mikvah not only for her husband but also for eating truma. So that can't be the case of our braisa, that she's only kasher to her husband but not to eat truma. So Rav Papa answers, L'Rav Nasan, according to Rav Nasan, shenafla min hagasher, it could be that she fell off a bridge into the river and here she had no kavana whatsoever, but at the end of the day she found herself immersed in a mikvah, whereas l'rabbanon shiardol haker, according to Rabbanon, that you have to have some sort of kavana to become wet, as referring to where she went into the mikvah, the pool of water, the river, whatever it is, just to cool off, but it turns out that she actually immersed, so that would be the case of Nansa v'tavla. We get into one more discussion, which is a further clarity of the machlekes between Rav Nasan and Rabbanon, and this has to do with shchita the paraduma. We actually mentioned briefly a couple daf ago that if all a person is working with the paraduma, he does something else as well, that's actually going to passel the paraduma. So here we see it in regards to shchita. Amar Ravi tells us, shachat para v'shachat behem acheres ima, if he shechts the paraduma, and at the same time he shechts another animal, it was two in one, according to everybody, the paraduma is pasul because he's over for shechting the other animal with it. Now, let me on top. Let's say nishchata behema cheres ima. Another behema ended up being shechted with it. In other words, he was shechting paraduma and somehow didn't realize that there was another animal, and it ended up being that he shechted this other animal as well. So, Rav Nasan para psula behema ksheira, l'rabbanon para ksheira behema psula. According to Rav Nasan, the paraduma is pasul and the other animal is kasher. Was according to Rabbanon, the other way around. That's because Rav Nasan holds shechita shleva chavana is kasher. So this other animal, even though it's shechting shleva chavana, it's kasher, which means that the paraduma is pasul, because that's shechting another animal with the paraduma, as opposed to the Rabban who hold the shechita shleva chavana is not kasher, so that means the paraduma is kasher and the other animal is pasul. Asking more pshita, isn't this obvious? We already know this. The answer is you're right. Nishchita behema acheres to Rav Nasan shvichalei. The whole chiddush is not for the Rabbanon, it's really in Rav Nasan. Why is that a chiddush? Because Akta Chamina, I would have thought that v'shachar oisah hamarachman v'lois v'chaverta, when the Torah tells us by paraduma that you shall shecht it, and that tells us you have to shecht only the paraduma and not another animal with it. And v'hechidami, where would that apply? I would think kigan, for example, that's where he's shechting two pares adumais together. But if the second animal that he's shechting is chulin, I might say that's not a problem and actually would not be a psol. K'mashmalan the chiddush of Nasan is that shechting even that animal of chulin along with paraduma passes the paraduma. And the reason why is as follows: the rabbanon simply passel another malacha done by kavana because of hesachadas. That means his mind is not focused on the paraduma, and that's why when he does another malacha, for example, shechita of another animal, that passes the paraduma. But if the shechita the other animals shalai b'chavanos, there's no psol. Now, Rav Nasan in essence agrees to that. However, specifically in regards to shechting another animal, since Rav Nasan holds that that shechita is valid even without kavana, so it still violates the pasuk of Isa and v'loy Isa v'chaverta, memel, that's Rav Nasan passels over here. We just have one more din regarding the paraduma. Chatech delas ima, divrei kol psula. Everyone who's shechting the paraduma, he also cut a delas, a gourd, along with it. So everyone agrees the paraduma is pasul. That's because he had intention to cut it. Whereas nechtecha delas ima, divrei kol kshera, if a gourd happened to have been cut along with it, meaning he didn't realize that there was a gourd there when he was shechting and he ended up cutting this gourd, everyone agrees it's kosher because because that's not a problem of Hesach Hadas. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow with another Mishnah with more Din Mashchita. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.